You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 196.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey guys, welcome back to another masterclass here on the Flip Empire Show. I'm excited to have you on. I got one of my buddies who I met not too long ago, but we had a lot of conversations at a mastermind back in December over drinks and just dinner. And I'm really excited to get him on because we're talking about a niche that we've never covered here on the podcast, and that's investing in mobile home parks. And you might have a preconceived notion when you think about investing in a mobile home park, because I know that when I first heard of it, you know, I thought of, well, is that something I'd want to get into? And I started thinking of all the, you know, the things that just pop into your mind when it comes to mobile home parks. And as I've slowly started to kind of get educated in that space, it's really opened my eyes to just what an amazing vehicle it is to generate wealth and cash flow in this business. And so I'm not the expert here. My good buddy, Dan Gibson, who I'm about to bring on in a second, he is the expert. And so today's episode is going to be all about investing in mobile home parks and generating cash flow. So Dan, man, having said that, hopefully I didn't take too much of your thunder, but it's awesome to have you on.
Yes, Al, thanks so much for having me. And you know what? That's exactly why we love this niche, is because everybody has that stigma.
That's incredible, man. Why is that, that people have that stigma? I mean, do they just think, is it the quality of the person that lives in a mobile home park? Or like, what is it about mobile home parks that has, that carries that stigma with it?
Yeah, it's everything you hear. You know, there's never a good media story that comes out about a mobile home park or the trailer park, as a lot of people will call them. And, you know, there's just, it's always, you know, you have the drug stigma, you have this, but it's no worse than any other apartment complex. It's no worse than any other neighborhood. You have about, in our experience, you have about 10 to 12% of the residents, whether you're in an apartment or a mobile home park, that you have to keep an eye on, you have to enforce the rules, and you got to make sure that if they're doing things that they're not supposed to, then you just got to kick them out.
Yeah. No, I can totally see it. So let's kind of start from the beginning. Maybe give a quick introduction, who you are, how you got started in this business, so that the people that don't know who you are can just kind of get to know you better. And then we'll get into the heart of the episode.
Perfect. Yes, my name is Dan Gibson. I'm getting ready to turn 30. I've been investing in real estate for about 7 years now, and mobile home parks exclusively for the last 3 years.
Okay.
So I got started in college. I knew I got a finance degree, but I knew I didn't want to do the corporate America thing. And I looked for the path of least resistance. What can I do that will require, you know, the least amount of effort, but will be fun. I was kind of always had the entrepreneurial spirit, and just kind of fell into real estate and started with single family homes and small apartments. Built a little portfolio over 4 or 5 years, and then accidentally bought our first mobile home park and loved it, and thought this was something that not a lot of people know about. There won't be as much competition. So that's kind of how we got into that. And we're out of the St. Louis area. We're on the Illinois side of St. Louis.
Okay.
So we're in the heartland. There's, you know, most of the mobile home parks in the country outside of, you know, California and Florida, it's all in the Midwest, all around these Midwestern cities. So that's where we primarily invest.
Got it. So let me, before we get into how you accidentally bought your first park, I want to kind of lay it all out there for the people that maybe like tune out because they hear, oh, I'm not interested in mobile home parks, and they don't realize the potential for cash flow. What are some of the benefits of investing in mobile home parks versus maybe some of the other niches in real estate?
Yes. And that's exactly why we fell in love with it. And I think I would challenge anyone, if you owned and operated a mobile home park, you would not go back to your normal apartment complexes. And those reasons, in a perfect world, you own just the dirt. are not owning any we don't own any of the homes, and we're just collecting lot rent. We're collecting dirt rent. So we have a lot lower tax base because there's no improved structure on the land. So we're not paying, you know, taxes on, let's say there's a 50-unit mobile home park. We're not paying taxes on each individual unit because mobile homes are actually, they're considered personal property. So they have a VIN number. So they're essentially cars.
That's amazing.
They're not homes. Yeah. So they all have a VIN number. You deal with the title work through the DMV. So there's no deed, deed to the land or anything. So, so obviously as the park owner, I'm not paying your personal property taxes. That's up to you. I'm just paying tax on the land. So our taxes are much lower. Obviously, since we don't own the homes, our maintenance is much lower. So I'm not getting the calls about toilets. I'm not getting the calls about, you know, leaky roofs or whatever. The only maintenance I'm responsible for is I'm responsible to get the water, the sewer, and electric or gas to the pad. But once it crosses our shutoff valve at the pad, at the lot, then it's up to each mobile homeowner to take care of their own lines.
You know what's incredible, Dan, is I think I would probably venture to say that most people aren't even aware of that. You know, people might think that to own a park means that you actually own the homes.
Exactly. And now that's not to say, you know, we have three parks. We do own we own quite a few homes because that's just the nature of the beast. These homes are not easy to move. They cost anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 to move them, set them up, tie them down, get them level, all that kind of stuff. So as you can imagine, that's quite an expense.
Yeah.
And so homes very rarely leave your park. So then what happens when someone dies or when someone, you know, has to be evicted or whatever, that home usually just gets abandoned, or we buy the home for pennies on the dollar and then we either rent it out, we sell it, you know. So we do have some homes that we own just because of, you know, homes don't move very often. However, our business model is we don't want to own any of the homes. So we do a lot of lease to own deals where, you know, we provide a path to ownership for these families or for young couples, and it's at a very cheap price because we don't want to maintain the home.
Okay. Got it.
So
understood.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting.
So there's, as far as some of the benefits, obviously you got lower taxes, which you talked about. It sounds like you have very little maintenance as far as the actual home is concerned, because that's on the homeowner. That's their responsibility.
Correct.
Do you have a lot of maintenance issues as far as, you know, sewer, electrical? Like, do those challenges pop up often, or is it something that?
No, not often. Definitely not with electrical. With sewer, we'll have it's very similar to any type of apartment or rental real estate. We'll have to get the sewer line snaked maybe once every couple months, depending on the size of the park. But, the two big challenges maintenance wise is making sure the sewer's clear and operating, and then keeping track of water. That's probably our biggest headache. Is, you know, a lot, depending on the park, a lot of them are not master metered, or a lot of them are master metered, excuse me. They're not sub metered to each individual lot. Mm-hmm. So, keeping track of, okay, if there's a water leak or if someone is running a bunch of water because they have a leaky toilet, if they're not directly paying, you know, seeing the water bill, that is a challenge. But there's also a solution. You know, there are some relatively cheap ways to sub-meter a park. So that's something that we've done as well. So
very interesting, man. And I would think, kind of going back to what we were talking about, the stigma, I would think that stigma works for you guys in that, like, how many, at least relatively speaking, when you compare it to single family investors or even, you know, multifamily or other types of commercial, like, I can't imagine you have a whole lot of people going after these parks. I mean, obviously there's going to be guys like you out there, but relatively speaking to like other types of real estate investing, this has to be pretty much like an untapped niche, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are, you know, my business is me, my dad, and my brother, and we are constantly going to all the real estate mastermind meetings in St. Louis. There's three or four of like the big ones, and we've maybe come across one other person in the whole area that I know that's actively buying. And then there's only a handful of people, nationwide that are the big boys that are really actively buying. So yeah, I mean, if you're interested in at all in mobile home parks, the range of the size of the park that I would recommend going after is anywhere between 20 and like 100 lots, because that's kind of too small for some of the big boys. You know, they're looking for, the big REITs, the big hedge funds, they're looking for 150 plus lot parks.
Okay.
So then that 20 to 100 lot park, that's kind of your mom and pop seller anyway, which, as we know, those are your best sellers.
Okay. That was one of the questions I was going to ask you, because I've talked to a lot of guys in the multifamily space, specifically, apartment buildings. And by and large, most people's advice is the quicker you can go bigger, the better. Right. Because you just have the economies of scale, et cetera. And so that was one of the things I was going to ask you is like, how big are, and I guess you answered it, you're looking for, you would recommend people that are getting started out 20 to 100 lots then.
Yes, exactly. And I would say that's a good spot, especially to start looking, in your local market, in your local area. Because really if you start going outside your area, which we have done, then you have to, then obviously the whole management aspect becomes another challenge. The park needs to be big enough to support an on-site manager, which usually you hire in the park, and you can pay them a variety of different ways. But, that 30 to 40 lot park isn't going to really, it's not going to make sense to have an on-site manager. But then if you get into the 60 plus lot parks, then it does make sense. So I think that 20 to 100 is the perfect mom and pop sweet spot. That's where, we target all of our cold calling that we do, those are the parks we're interested in.
Okay, understood. And Dan, are these typically like in C to D type areas for the most part?
No, not at all.
Okay.
So two out of our three parks are in what I would call B areas and B plus to even A minus school districts. Cause that's really the biggest thing. And that's what drives. Yes. Oh yeah.
Wow.
And I think the other thing too is people don't realize is you don't realize how many mobile home parks are in your area, because they're usually tucked behind something. They usually have maybe a big tree line that you can't really see them, or if you're just not looking for them, you don't know what to look for. But in fact, we love getting in the decent school districts, because at worst case scenario, if we have a home, we know we can rent it out.
Sure.
Even if that's not our, even if that's not our business model, if I'm in, I'm in a good school district and I have a 3-bedroom mobile home, well, 3-bedroom rent in that area is $1,100. This is in our market, St. Louis. Mm-hmm. But a 3-bedroom mobile home will rent out for $700 to $800.
Yeah, significantly
so
cheaper.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely the cheapest form of housing.
Okay. Got it. Wow. You see that there's another misconception. I would have thought that, because I think about some of the parks here in Miami in South Florida. But I actually, now that we're talking, I can think of one specifically that absolutely is in a B area, but that's so interesting. And you're saying that these are in A school districts, like these are pretty good areas you're talking about then.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, I know I can speak for our two parks outside St. Louis, they're on the Illinois side, but I mean, these are all school districts people want to live in. They're a top school district in the area, and that's obviously an advantage.
Okay.
Another thing you can kind of look for too is, Walmart is, they do all of the heavy, geographical and demographic work for you. So kind of a quick rule of thumb for anyone who's interested in a park, and if they're not sure it's a good area, is see where the closest Walmart is. Mm. If it's less than a 15-minute drive, then I would say that area is absolutely fine. And then obviously in some more rural areas, if you can get there in 20 minutes, then I would say that's okay too. But, you know, just kind of, you know, let Walmart be, use them to your advantage. You know, they've done all this research. You know, they're not going to put a super center in an area that they don't think can support it. So
I like that. Yeah, that's a great rule of thumb. Yeah. So Meg, you kind of teased us with this. Yeah, no, I love that. I absolutely love that. You kind of teased us with it earlier when you said you accidentally bought your first park. So I'd love to kind of get into that story and then talk about, like, you know, the parks that you guys own now, and then we can get into the cash flow and that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah. So, so as I mentioned, you know, I started with single family houses and small, you know, small apartments, duplexes. I think we bought as big as a sevenplex apartment. And in Illinois specifically, we have pretty high real estate taxes. So, you know, you really have to buy correct. You have to buy right. You have to get a good deal to, you know, make the cash flow numbers work. And obviously starting out, my brother and I, who's, you know, my main business partner, you know, we were in our early 20s, and, you know, no banks were interested in lending to us. Mm-hmm. You know, we really didn't have, you know, we grew up in a middle class family. So we didn't have a ton of family money. So, you know, my parents weren't exactly, you know, just here's a bunch of money, you know, figure something out.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had to get creative. And the one thing we did was we always did deals with seller financing, because that was really our only option. You know, we did a few deals, like the sevenplex was with, you know, seller financing. So we kind of knew our way around. By this point, we had, you know, 20 to 30 rental units. And I just heard about a woman that was selling a park. It was 33 lots. It was in a pretty good school district. I had never seen this park before. I was shocked at how nice it was. I would consider it a B+ park, maybe even an A-. Maybe even an A-, but a good school district. It had 33 lots, and I was looking at, and the real thing that got me started on it was I was just looking at the taxes and insurance number that this lady paid, and I was like, that can't be right, because her cash flow numbers were unbelievable. But then when you start looking into it with the taxes, which we've talked about, and then the insurance, the same thing, you know. I'm not insuring your home. I'm not insuring your car, essentially, right? So I'm just insuring the land and liability, which is significantly cheaper.
Okay. It's one master lease insurance policy, or master insurance policy, I should say. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically one big liability policy. That's okay. What it is. So I started looking. I mean, it was just the cash flow thing, right? We all love the cash flow. That's why we got into real estate. And I was like, well, this makes a lot more sense than going to try and buy a 33 unit apartment complex, because my taxes are sky high. The insurance is sky high. And, you know, we came to an agreement, seller financing, and we've owned it for about a little over 3 years, or almost 3 years now. And, I mean, it's been one of the best buys we've ever bought. And that's kind of what got us hooked.
That's amazing. Do you mind if we kind of drill down into some of the numbers, like what you guys were able to buy it for, what some of the expenses are, and what, you know, the net cash flow is at the end of the day?
Yeah, sure. So we bought this park for
$575,000. Okay.
So a general rule of thumb is a bank will value a park at $20,000 per lot. So for this particular park, it was 33 lots. We bought it at a little over $17,000 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we were getting an okay deal there. But the biggest thing for us was she was owner financing it. And she took like 8% down as a down payment.
Not bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, hard to complain with those numbers. And she financed it for, for 3 years at 4% interest, which was a better interest rate than we would have gotten at a bank as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So today I wouldn't necessarily pay $17,000 per lot for a park. I'm closer to like the $10,000 to $12,000 per lot, because a lot of times, as you know, we're doing turnaround parks. So you know, that's where the value is made and the value add there. Mm-hmm. But this wasn't really a turnaround park. This was just a straight cash flow play.
To interrupt for a quick second, for somebody listening that is not they're not familiar with the jargon of value add or turnaround, you mean that like this particular park that you bought was like, it was stabilized, it was running on all cylinders, there was cash flow from day one, it wasn't something that you had to quote unquote turn around to start getting revenue coming in? Is that right, or how would you explain that?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. It wasn't something that we had to go and pour a bunch of capital in to make it better. It cash flowed from day one.
Okay.
So we purchased it for $575,000. I think we ended up financing around $525,000 at 4%. And then basically at the end of the day, after all of our expenses, we generate a little over $3,000 per month in cash flow.
Awesome.
After all expenses, after our mortgage, after everything.
That's fantastic, man. And you have an on-site manager, I'm assuming, that runs the park?
So actually, luckily for us, this park is literally 5 or 7 minutes from our office. So my brother and I just kind of manage it. And that's the other thing about the great thing about not owning the homes is we only own 2 homes in that park. Mm-hmm. So we only have 2 renters, which, you know, there's not a whole lot of management to do on the, you know, it's only a 33 lot park and most of them are, you know, tenant owned homes. So, with our office being so close, there's no need to have, you know, on-site management.
Okay. So this particular park, since you guys are self-managing, how much time does it take, would you say, like on a weekly or monthly basis for you and your brother? Like what's involved in the management of that particular park?
I would say between my brother and I, we're in the 3 to 5 hours a week. Okay. And I would say it's, you know, just fielding some phone calls or emails. If somebody, you know, needs a sewer cleaned out or, you know, honestly, a lot of it is like this park's full of trees with gumballs. So it's like cleaning up all the gumball trees, you know, it's not a whole lot of, you know, your usual, you know, oh, everybody, you know, knocking on doors because people owe me money. It's not like that at all. So yeah, I would say between my brother and I combined, we're at like 3 to 5 hours a week.
Okay. And so then
which isn't bad.
Yeah, no, that's not bad at all. I would have thought it would have been more, but it sounds like with the mobile home park space, you have on-site managers that manage the park. You don't have like in apartment buildings, you have property management companies. Or does that just depend on the size of the park?
Yeah, I think it depends on the size of the park. And it depends on if, you know, you can find good property management on site. Like for our larger park, that's about 45 minutes outside St. Louis. We do have on-site management there. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot bigger park. It's 112 lots. So, you know, the need for it, you know, it makes sense. We have a girl that works with the park and lives on site. And we have both of our maintenance guys live in the park as well. So that's super nice because, you know, they're right there. They can take care of problems. So
dude, what's the typical salary for like an on-site manager?
Kind of depends on the type of park. So if it's a lot of tenant owned parks, you can get away with basically saying, hey, you can come live for free. And, you know, we'll pay you a percentage of the rent per month. Okay. And it's going to, you know, so you just kind of shake that out. But like for our larger park, it is a turnaround park. The park, our larger park, actually came with 60 Park owned homes. So we actually acquired 60 of the homes, which obviously, like I mentioned, is not our business model. Mm-hmm. So we knew it would take some time to sell those off. But because of that, because that's not our model, you are getting higher rent, but that's why we have to have two maintenance guys, because there's a bunch of maintenance issues.
Yeah, of course.
So those employees, we just pay hourly. But I would say in your typical park, if there's a lot more tenant owned homes versus, you know, park owned homes that the park owner would own, you're basically letting them live for free and paying them a very small percentage of the rent.
Okay. Okay. Not bad at all.
So,
No. Yeah. It doesn't sound bad at all. Pivoting into the second one, you said it's the second park you guys acquired was 115 lots. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. 112.
112. Okay. So talk to me, like, this particular, your first park, it says like you heard a lady that was selling the park. Is that right?
Uh-huh. That's correct.
So how'd you get in contact with the second one? Like, how'd you go from 33 to 112?
So the second park, it was a banking relationship that I had. He had just remembered that I was interested in mobile home parks from one of those real estate club meetings. And he set me up with the owner, and, it was kind of the same type of deal. So, you can really expand, depending on the type of park, you can really kind of expand pretty quickly, because it's, again, if you're not owning the homes, it's just more dirt. It's more acreage. It's not, you know, it's nothing. Nothing's harder about managing 112 than it is 33.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I'm hearing, Dan, I guess based on these two, but maybe this is kind of how it works in the mobile home park industry, is that a lot of these sellers are more open to seller financing, or has that just been the case with yours?
No. Yeah, they are. And that's exactly why we kind of shoot for that lot, that park size of 20 lots to 100, because those are your mom and pop owners, or, you know, you get a lot of second generational owners where mom and dad had this park, they passed away.
They don't want to deal with
it. The kids don't want to deal with it. Now in that situation, you know, those people typically want cash, because, you know, they just want to get rid of it. However, you know, mom and pop are usually not the best bookkeepers, as I'm sure that won't surprise you.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So what will happen frequently is we'll come to an agreement, and then when we ask for, okay, hey, we need these financials because we're going to, you know, either raise private funds to purchase this, or we're going to go to our bank and we have to be able to, you know, do our due diligence and see these numbers. They don't have those numbers. So basically their only option is going to be, whether it's with me or whether it's with someone else, their only option is going to be able to owner finance it for someone for a couple of years, just while you get the books in order.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that happens frequently.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting. So how do we even get started? Like, somebody's listening and they're like, okay, this sounds appealing to me. Where do you even get started? I mean, I'm assuming there's like a LoopNet type site for mobile home parks.
Exactly. I was just going to say it's the LoopNet or the Craigslist of mobile home parks. Is it's called the mobile home park store.com.
Mobilehomeparkstore.com. Okay.
Yep. Mobilehomeparkstore.com. And you can filter that with your own state, your own city, your metro area. And, that'll give you the best information. Now, again, similar to LoopNet, you know, you're not always finding the best deals on that website.
Yeah.
But that's where, you know, all the brokers will post their deals. And there are a handful of mom and pops that post deals there. But, you know, that's the best way to start getting yourself educated, is looking at what parks are selling for. A lot of the brokers will post, you know, their offering memorandums on the ad as well. So just kind of going through those and seeing what those look like. And I mean, and it's all set up the same as apartment complexes. So it's, you know, there's nothing different about these offering memorandums. It's all the same, you know, key figures that we're looking at, you know, ROI, cash on cash, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the best place that's the best place to start if you're just want to Google a few things and see what you can find in your area.
Yeah, so I actually just did that. So I went to mobilehomeparkstore.com. I put in my zip code. Nothing comes up in my zip, but three listings come up, I guess, in somewhat of a – this is a couple hours away. I know this particular city.
Yeah.
How do I even start to like, for example, in the one that I'm looking at right now, it's 28 lots, and they're asking $1.1 million. I'm guessing those numbers are probably way out of whack because this is in Florida, you know, relative to where you invest.
Unfortunately for you, Alex, Florida and California, you know, that you guys are used to the big mobile home communities, you know? I will not be buying in California or Florida. But that's why a lot of people invest in the Midwest. People that are starting out because you can get. For instance, what did you say that was? You said 20. How many lots?
So this one's 28 lots, and they're asking 1.1.
28 lots at 1.1.
Yeah, it's like 40 grand almost, right?
Yeah. So our 112 lot park, we paid 1.8 for. You can just see the scale difference.
Yeah, I get it. Well, look, I mean, this is a completely different scenario. This one, I'm looking at another one that's 19 lots and they're asking 385. You know,
70. Yeah, exactly. And so, okay. And so I think clicking on each one and kind of seeing, you know, the key things you need to look for if you're analyzing a park, is obviously what's your cost per pad. Obviously, it's no different than apartments or single families. It's, hey, how much income does this produce? Mm-hmm. You know, like what's the income? I mean, that's this basic math that we're all used to doing for real estate.
Yep.
Another key thing, which we haven't touched on yet, is are the utilities private or public? So are we on city water, city sewer systems? That's a huge positive. If you're on septic tanks and well water, then that goes into a whole nother stage of due diligence. So like, I mentioned, off the air, we had some septic issues and some inspections. So, you know, that's a real thing. And, you know, so that if you're on city water, city sewer, that's a huge plus.
Okay. Wow. Very interesting. Yeah. Cause the ones I'm poking around here, these look like, are what they're calling adult RV parks, like recreational vehicles. So I'm looking at the homes on the park on these pads, and they're actually like RVs. They're not, you know,
Depending on how each park is licensed. So like, for instance, one of our parks is licensed to have recreational vehicles, but our other park is not. So, it can kind of get tricky with what type of park and what they're licensed through the state. What they're allowed to have and what they're not allowed to have. So. Yeah.
Okay. Understood. Dan, is this something that you and your brother, have you guys considered doing this virtually, or do you think that would just be too challenging as far as managing, you know, an on-site manager from afar?
No, actually our park we're closing on in a couple weeks is outside of Indianapolis. So it's about 3.5 hours away. So we are definitely open and starting to do this virtually, mainly because, you know, there's only so many parks in your area. So, you know, I feel like between, you know, my dad, brother and I, we know of, or have heard of most of the parks in the St. Louis area. To branch out and to build our business, you know, we have to look elsewhere. So, we are expanding. Okay. Being a little bit that way. So that'll be a new challenge for us. But again, it's not, you know, it's not something that we're that afraid of.
Yeah, no, at all. Yeah, it's just about having the right systems in place and you know, finding the right person to manage the park. Dan, are you contacting the owners of these mobile home parks like through direct mail? I think you had mentioned outbound cold calling at one point earlier in the call. Like, how are you targeting these people?
So most of our leads just come organically through the real estate clubs, through the banking relationships, through, you know, friends and family who, you know, it's easy to remember someone that does mobile home park investing because there's just not that many of them. Mm-hmm. But But we do, I do specifically, you know, a little bit of cold calling. That's how, that's kind of my bread and butter. That's kind of what I'm good at. Yeah. And because a lot of times you're getting the mom and pops on the phone. So that's how we do our business. But, you know, we're also, you know, in the larger apartment complex or larger mobile home park space, you know, if we do one or two deals a year, that's a pretty good year. So, you know, it's not like with, you know, we're not flipping houses or buying, you know, single family homes where, you know, you're like, oh, I need to flip one a month or wholesale one a month or, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, if I do 100 lot park every year, I'd be tickled to death. That's a great year.
That's exciting, man. And I was just, and,
well, yeah, go ahead. And I was saying part of that reasoning is too, is these, once you get it under contract, it's a full 2 month to almost three, sometimes 3 month due diligence process to before you actually close. So, it does, you know, it does go a little bit slower in that aspect. So,
okay. And I would think that the due diligence, a lot of it is you guys are doing like a phase one study, a phase two study, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So we always do a phase one study, and we usually don't do a phase two unless obviously something comes up in the phase one.
Right.
So we always do in the phase one. We're usually always doing a survey, because you wouldn't be surprised how many times you do a survey and you realize, oh, that mobile home lot that was designed for a 40 foot long trailer now has an 80 foot long trailer on it. And it's now halfway on someone else's property.
Right.
So that happens, you know, that happens frequently. So yeah, survey, phase one. And then obviously if you're doing, you know, if you have private utilities, you know, septic inspection, well inspections, some of these parks even have a lagoon. I don't know if you've ever heard of a lagoon before.
Yeah, it's like a body of water.
It's a body of feces and has some water in it. Let's put it that way.
So you have, yeah, you have these parks that are like on a lagoon, basically.
We have not owned one yet, but we've definitely looked at a couple, and that's kind of a tricky, I don't recommend doing that starting out, because that's kind of a tricky, you know, you have to make sure that it's been registered with the EPA and the EPA's tested it and that kind of stuff, because you can get into a world of trouble if that lagoon is leaking or not functioning properly.
Oh man, I just had a mental image. So, wow. That's
so
crazy.
Yeah. So obviously, if you're on private utilities, you definitely want to do some due diligence on those to make sure those are all operating correctly. And similar to well water too. You know, we have to get this park that we're closing on outside Indianapolis. It's on a well. So we have to get that tested every month to make sure that the water we're providing for our residents, you know, is good, clean water. Mm-hmm. So those are some additional costs, and those could be some additional headaches down the road if you don't do the due diligence ahead of time.
Yeah, no, understood. No, that's important to know before you get into any type of investing, especially something like this. I mean, I would imagine, we were talking off air that you had a big septic issue, I think it was. I'm guessing had you not done that inspection, you know, who knows how much it would have cost you in the long run.
Oh, yeah. So it was a 44 lot park, and it was really close to our office. So we were super excited because, you know, it was in our hometown, like be super easy to just plug into our little management system here. And I think that we were paying like $375,000 for the park, and the bid to fix the entire septic system was like $225,000.
Ouch.
So wow. Yeah. So if we didn't do that, we would have been in a world of hurt. That's for sure.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You got to spend a little bit of money up front, you know, going through your due diligence. Cause yeah, exactly. That would have been a big world of hurt. So yeah, man. Yes. Hey man, before we wrap this up, I'm curious. Cause that was my fault. I didn't even ask you, but that second park that you guys took down, 112 lots, what's that thing cash flowing for you?
That one has a lot more overhead because we have all those park owned homes. Mm-hmm. So that one's only netting about $4,000 a month right now.
Okay, but I mean, between the two parks, you're netting $7,000 yeah. right now.
Right, and since that larger park is the turnaround park, we expect that one to almost double in the next year and a half. So
that's huge. Yeah, that's great, man. Well, brother, hats off to you and your brother for, you know, getting into this, what, couple years ago. Now you own two parks, and I think you mentioned you're under contract for a third that you guys are going to be closing yep. in a few weeks, right? God willing?
Yep, you got it.
That's fantastic, man. Guys, if you want to learn more about this, Dan is giving away a PDF. Dan, what's it called? It's essentially five.
It's our top five reasons to invest in mobile home parks versus apartment complexes. And it kind of goes through a few of the things we talked about. And it's all on our website as well. You know, my brother and I, we have trailerparkbros.com. We have a little program there. If you're interested at all in learning more, we're also, you know, we're trying to do weekly content on Facebook because, as you can imagine, the stigma of the parks, you know, it's probably overplayed, but we also do get some funny stories, especially in some of these turnaround parks.
Oh yeah.
So we try and do some weekly content on our Facebook page, trailerparkbros.com. You know, it's all through Trailer Park Bros. So you'll be able to check us out there. But yeah, I'm more than happy. I'll email you this PDF for all your listeners.
Yeah. And guys, if you want to grab that PDF, you can go ahead and just go to flipempire.com/trailers. With an S at the end, flipempire.com/trailers. You guys can go ahead and pick that PDF up. And if you're interested in connecting with Dan, finding out more about mobile home park investing, go check out his site, trailerparkbros.com. And we'll have all these links in the show notes page. Dan, man, congrats on your success, man. You're a super young guy. I look forward to connecting with you here soon at our next mastermind. And dude, I don't know, do you have any other, you know, anything else to add here before we wrap it up?
No, just if anyone's interested at all, I love talking this. I love talking mobile homes. I love talking trailer parks. So if anybody's interested at all, please get on our website, shoot us your information. You'll get an email from me directly or my brother directly. You know, we love helping people. And yeah, just, that's it.
That's fantastic, man. Well, again, thanks for your time, man. Congrats on, you know, let me know as soon as you get this third one locked up. And I'm excited to see, you know, where you and your brother go from here. So, guys, if this is a niche that is appealing to you, you know, reach out to Dan and his brother. Go to trailerparkbros.com. Again, you guys can grab that PDF. I'll have a link in the show notes page. And it's, you know, sometimes you learn something about a particular niche that you would have never considered. And hopefully, you know, some of the things that Dan touched on today kind of piques your interest. And so reach out to them because they're the experts in this. And I learned a handful of things just talking to Dan the last 40 minutes or so. So Dan, man, I appreciate you and I'll catch up with you soon. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex.
All right. Take care, guys. We'll talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.